from
Thanks for
now
having me.
on. Oh, thank you. Maybe it's because it's probably everybody's all-time favorite movie, or certainly in the top five. You've made a just a return to It's a Wonderful Life time and time and time again. Why is that in your life? Did it mean that much to you?
Well, yeah. And, Capra had a great message. And the Bailey kids, we were the youngest, so we stayed
Yeah.
around the longest. I like the film. I like the message of the film. And we're just carrying Frank Capra's message because he can't be here anymore. So
Yeah.
we talk for him because we believe in the movie. And there's just two of us left, Zuzu and I. And we go to a festival every year in Seneca Falls, the It's a Wonderful Life Museum, and we meet more people, share more stories. They tell us their stories because we can carry that story on to the next person.
You were
So,
friends with the stars and with Frank Capra, the director. Did he know it was going to be that special when he was making it? Did he know? Did you know?
nobody knew because I talked to all the people that are still left. I took them to Jimmy Stewart's hometown on the 50th anniversary, and the same to Donna Reed's hometown. No, and I talked to all the actors, the writer, everybody that was still around. It was just another movie to the actors. They appreciated being part of Frank Capra's back from World War
Sure.
II, 5 years. Wow. And I'm in this picture. But it wasn't like, oh, this is slam dunk, gonna be great. No, it was just a day's work or 2 days or a week or whatever they were on the film. And nobody thought anything. It was just a great experience, but it was just another day acting for a lot of them.
What was Jimmy Stewart like to you? I only remember him obviously from the movies, but from his visits to The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, he always just looked like this fatherly figure who told these long, drawn-out stories that were funny. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, of course I do. Well,
Yeah.
I've met him, in person at parties, but he was nice. We talked on the set about the movie and the colorization. He felt that it looked like the colorization back then in the 70s looked like Walt Disney threw up on it. He said, so
It
it
was
was.
pretty bad then, but now it looks pretty darn good when. All right, so tell me about your book real quick for our listeners. It's a nostalgic view back to the movie and behind the
No,
scenes.
it's different than anything anybody's ever written about. It's a Wonderful Life. We see the journey could have fallen apart when Philip Van Doornstern wrote the original story, sent it out to publishers because he was a very popular writer at the time, and everybody turned it down. So he put it away for 5 years, and friends would ask him from time to time, "Hey, whatever happened to that story about the guy on the bridge?" He said, "I know." So he took it out and changed a couple things in it and sent it around again. After the war, Capra made a deal with RKO to distribute the movies that his company would be making. He made the picture the way he wanted it, independently. Nobody told him to do anything. He just got to do it his way. But what the book points out is, see how Capra did it? He did it his way. You have a dream of doing your project. Well, then do it, but do it your way.
Well, Jimmy Hawkins, I wish I had more time. I think I've probably taken more time than I was allotted, but thank you so much for this time, for the interview. You have a wonderful day.
Okay.